News for Health presents To Your Good Health Radio. Here are Melanie Cole, MS, and Dr. David Friedman.
We're speaking today with Dr. Steven Sinatra. He's a fan favorite and a board-certified cardiologist and anti-aging specialist. He's been featured guest on many national radio and television shows, including CNN, MSNBC, Dr. Oz, and so many more. Here to discuss his latest book, The Great Cholesterol Myth Cookbook, Recipes and Meal Plans That Prevent Heart Disease. Welcome back, Dr. Steven Sinatra. Here's Dr. David Friedman.
Doc, welcome back for a second segment. We can have you here for 20 segments and still not even tap one-tenth of what I want to ask you.
Thanks so
You're
much.
You're so knowledgeable. It's just great. You know, your book, The Great Cholesterol Myth, let me tell you, it's so groundbreaking. Let me tell you how I felt. I felt like a child after learning there was no such thing as Santa Claus. You debunked medical facts as being fiction, and you did it so brilliantly, so I just want to commend you again on that. Now, your latest companion cookbook delves into heart-healthy recipes. What is the number one ingredient in the kitchen we should be avoiding?
Absolutely, sugar. I mean, my gosh, that's the ingredient everybody needs to avoid. So it's not just the sugar you put in your tea and coffee. It's the sugar in white flour, carbohydrates. Remember, a potato is going to contain an enormous amount of potassium, which is a very good thing, but it's going to have a high glycemic index. White rice is going to be even more than a potato. So I tell people, try to restrict carbs as much as you want, particularly wheat. I'm really worried about, you know, the genetically hybridized wheat of today.
And, is there an alternative for the sugar that you recommend? Is there something that you like that's healthier?
You know, if I'm eating some coarse oatmeal with some fresh fruit on it, and you want to dabble just a little bit of maple syrup or honey, that's okay. But I just don't want to use a lot of white sugar. Or do I want to use any of the synthetic sugars? They're out as well, especially aspartame and those equals and those natural or unnatural sweeteners. I mean, to me, they're as taboo as regular sugar.
Right. You know, you brought up the point about the grains. I know chapter 4 of your book's called The Truth About Grains. With so much in the media about the dangers of gluten, GMOs, what's your opinion on eating, let's say, a healthy bowl of oatmeal? Is it over? We need to stay away from oatmeal?
No, I'll tell you, oatmeal I allow, but less of. It's not over because oatmeal does a lot of good things. I mean, it can help reduce blood pressure. It's high fiber. You're going to get some, you know, activated omega-6, which is a little each week is always good for you, you know, and some borage oil. So, you know, oatmeal is still okay. I like the coarse oatmeal. I like it with a lot of fiber, especially with a lot of organic fruits on it. If you do that, you'll be in great shape.
And the key is try to find organic if you can? Is that the key?
Well, organic fruits as much as you can if you're going to use it on the oatmeal. One of the things that organic is really important for is strawberries. I mean, strawberries are one of the most sprayed fruits out there. So if you're going to use strawberries, you must go organic.
Must go organic. That's great. Let me ask you another one because you're so full of great little tips here. What about coffee? I hear a lot of conflicting information. Some say it's healthy. Others say it contributes to high blood pressure, tachycardia, stress. What's the Sinatra solution for coffee?
I like coffee. I'm not afraid of coffee. I think a cup of Joe in the morning is fine. Remember, coffee has a lot of antioxidants in it. Now, look, if you're going to drink coffee and, you know, put 3 or 4 tablespoons of sugar in it and, you know, lots of dairy product, I mean, if you make it almost into a sugar frap, it's not good for you. And
that's
you
not
don't want to do coffee throughout the day. I think in the morning it's perfectly okay, and it is a very, very powerful antioxidant.
That's great. Now, I know your latest book shares over 100 healthy recipes that will prevent or reverse heart disease. Do any of them include adding salt, or is cooking with this spice still considered taboo? Is there no such thing as a great salt myth book?
Sweet spot. Yeah. Salt has a sweet spot. There's no definite. I mean, in other words, if you do less than 2 grams of sodium a day and you're prone to heart failure, that's undesirable because you can get that renin-angiotensin system cooking in your kidney and you can create even more vasoconstriction. If you have high blood pressure, I generally like salt less than 3.8 grams or 3.5 grams. I don't like to go over that. For heart failure, I do not like less than 2 grams. I like more than like 2.5 to 2.8. But remember, it's not the salt or the sea salt or the Celtic salt or the Himalayan salt that you sprinkle on your food. It's the hidden salt that's in processed foods. Let me give you an example, Dr. a flame broiled chicken at a fast food restaurant has like 1,300 to 1,500 milligrams of sodium. A dill pickle has 1,000 milligrams. A few French fries have a few hundred milligrams. So you can go to a fast food restaurant and all of a sudden get 3 grams in one sitting. And if you come home that night and have, a can of soup, which is loaded with sodium, you could be up to 4 grams before you even had another meal in a day. So you have to be really careful about the processed sodium in cans and boxes. And I always tell my patients to read labels.
You know, you bring up a point. A lot of people are thinking they're doing their heart good by just not reaching for that salt shaker, and the wives are saying, I'm proud of you, and then they just dig into the meal. As you mentioned, it's just loaded with salt.
Exactly. And remember, if you're using a Celtic salt or a sea salt, you're getting a good vibrational energy, and you're also getting some mineral energy as well. So I like that.
Great. And what's your opinion on dairy and red meat? Something to stay away from, or do you feel these foods should be part of a diet?
Well, less is more when it comes to dairy and red meat. I mean, a lot of people, particularly kids on the autistic spectrum disorder, have a casein allergy, so to speak. Even adults have it. So, I mean, if people want to put a little dairy in their coffee or I have some half organic half and half, I have no problem with that. I do have a problem with a lot of men drinking milk. I think it's bad for the prostate gland. I do have a problem with a lot of children drinking milk. I mean, as you know, some children have an allergy to milk. They can get type 1 diabetes.
Right.
So I'm really cautious about dairy. I'm also cautious about red meat. I am not a big fan of eating red meat every day. I mean, if you want to have less than 4 ounces every other day, that would be my maximum amount. I would allow that. And remember, when it comes to red meat, I would certainly want to go organic as much as possible. You don't want to take in bovine growth hormone. You don't want to be eating a lot of cows who are eating, let's say, genetically modified corn. I mean, or chickens who are getting a lot of antibiotics. In other words, you don't want that in your body. And when you eat those foods, you're going to get those undesirable items. So organic as much as possible and red meat less.
I always say you are what you eat ate. So you got to kind of look at what your food is eating. That makes sense. And what about a couple things? Red wine, here mixed things, good for the heart, but in moderation. What's your
moderation for sure? I mean, red wine is another one that I don't want people to start drinking red wine because I hear it's good for the heart. I mean, if you do like red wine, that's fine. Again, 1 or 2 glasses every other day at the max, and I stress every other day. And the other thing about wines that I'm very concerned about is the fungicides they use, because the fungicides are much more toxic than the pesticides and other insecticides, especially to the human. So I like, again, organic or biodynamic wines that are free of fungicides or even insecticides or pesticides, but it's the fungicides I worry about.
See, that makes sense. That's good. And I think we have time for maybe one good question here that I get asked all the time. Aspirin a day, yes or no? Good for the heart or something you don't recommend?
Not for primary prevention. Absolutely not. Remember, about 20,000 people a year die from aspirin because of occult GI bleeding and even overt bleeding. But for secondary prevention, meaning that if you do have a previous history of a stent, bypass, heart attack, a baby aspirin a day is totally okay, providing you tolerate it. Remember, if you have any gastrointestinal upset, I would ditch the aspirin.
Ditch the aspirin. Yeah, great information, because I know a lot of people just take that. I had a guy 17 years old who's taking an aspirin a day because his father had heart disease. I'm like, what? Do you have heart problems?
No,
I'm healthy.
Prevention.
I'm like,
absolutely not.
Couldn't believe
it.
It
is such great information, gentlemen. And to get your copy of The Great Cholesterol Myth Cookbook and to stay up to date with Dr. Sinatra's latest natural remedies and heart-healthy diet tips, you can go to heartmdinstitute.com. And if you missed any of the great information that we're giving, you can listen anytime on demand or on the go at toyourgoodhealthradio.com. And you can follow Dr. Friedman on Twitter at Dr. David Friedman. As always, this is Melanie Cole with Dr. David Friedman. You're listening to Your Good Health Radio. Thanks so much for listening. Stay well and stay tuned.